Welcome to The Rundown. I'm your host, Justin Pugliese. This podcast is dedicated to you, the run community. Each episode, we bring you interviews with top athletes and community leaders. They'll share their stories, tips, and tricks to inspire and motivate you to keep running. Ultimately, we're all just here to have fun, from elite runners to weekend warriors. Find out how people get started and why they keep going. So listen up, tell your run buddies, and don't forget to subscribe. You can find us on Apple Music, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Go for a run. Yeah. Or if it's not running, whatever, but just like get out of your head and just run, like scramble for something physical, like get that heart going, and it's the best. Mm-hmm. And usually, like, I think those things are proportional. Like the worse you're doing, well, the harder you run, or the more you give, and the more it's going to calm you down. It's an amazing thing. We were made to run. It's so exciting. I've been thinking about this for years and years.
On this episode of The Rundown, I had a nice chat with Ravi Handa. He's an entrepreneur and part owner of September Cafe, who uses running as a way to disconnect and meditate. With his background in soccer and cross-country skiing, he has the endurance to tackle long-distance running. And while he has yet to sign up for a race, by the sound of it, 2019 might be the year. This episode is brought to you by WRG Run Club. If you're looking for a friendly, fun, and positive run club to join, this group is for you. They meet every Monday at 7 p.m. on the base of Mount Royal. Some run fast, some run slow. Who you'll meet, you never know. Keep track and visit their website, iamarunner.ca, and be sure to follow them on Instagram for more details at WRGRuns. Hope to see you out there. We've had some great guests over the last few weeks, and they mentioned a few events that are going on right now. On episode 7, Mark told us about an awesome way to train during winter. He's organized Parkour, a weekly indoor run at the underground parking in Distrant. Come by anytime between 6 and 8:30 a.m. to enjoy a break from winter. It starts this weekend, Sunday, January 13th, and will be running for 10 weeks straight. On our last episode, we spoke with Raul about the 40-80 challenge on Strava. It's a great opportunity to push yourself and run 40 or 80 kilometers within 2 weeks. Everyone is welcome to join as long as they have the Strava app. The cool thing happening this year is that you're not only representing yourself, but your city as well. Montreal, Ottawa, and Quebec City are going head-to-head to see who can put up the most kilometers. It started on the 2nd, but ends on the 15th, so it's not too late to get moving. That's all for now. Gotta run. You may have seen my next guest running Mount Royal or hanging out at September Cafe, where he's part owner. Welcome to The Rundown, Ravi.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. I actually met you through the WRG Run Club, which I've been running with them about a year now. So it's been within over last summer, I think, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. How long have you been running with them?
I couldn't tell you. Definitely a little longer, probably about 2 years.
Okay.
It's, I'd say near the opening of September, which was almost 3 years ago, Leslie DJ'd one of our parties.
Okay.
And I met him there, and I don't know how we ended up talking about running, but he told me about the run club. And I had it in the back of my mind probably for a couple of months. And then I finally decided to follow up and do something about it and showed up 7 p.m. at the statue on a Monday.
On Monday, yeah, every Monday.
And that was it. And I guess just over 2 years ago, something like that.
Cool. And was that the maybe first time you've joined a group to run?
Absolutely. Okay. The very first time. I got to say, I was a bit uneasy about it at first because I was like, well, what does this mean? Like, are we all at the same pace? What's the vibe? Am I going to be last in line? Like, what does any of this mean? And then like, Leslie was like, dude, it's the most no pressure run club ever. Just show up. It's good vibes. And sometimes we go for ice cream after. I was like, oh, okay.
I can do that.
I can do that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, sometimes it's intimidating to join a group. So
totally.
But when you have like, when people are so easygoing about it, I think it's an easy way to get introduced to group running and also to meet new people too.
100%.
Yeah. Awesome. So yeah, well, that's where we met, and you're like you were one of the quicker runners, I think, in our group. And like,
as are you.
Thanks. But like learning a bit more about you, you don't race much.
I don't. The only thing, besides running in high school, I was like part of the cross country running team. And I did like, I think 800 meter in track in grade 9 or something. That's okay. It. But between like high school and now, I didn't run at all. Any races or any of the sort. The first event that I did was the Red Bull Wings for Life this summer, which was really wonderful. And that's probably the longest distance I've ever run as well.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and that's it's kind of a cool event because you push yourself to run as much as you can before.
Totally.
There's a virtual car that follows you,
yeah,
and which is kind of neat. Some cities that the car is actually following the course, but in our case it follows on an app, I guess.
So. Yeah, I thought it was fascinating. When Leslie first talked to me about it, I was like, I cannot believe this actually works, and it worked.
Amazing.
It was really cool.
Do you know how much you ran?
23 something.
That's great.
Yeah. I think I did have an objective in my mind. I kind of wanted to prove to myself that I could do a half marathon if I had to, and mm-hmm. that was it.
And was that the furthest you've ran?
That was the furthest I've ran.
Okay,
cool. I felt it.
Okay, nice. Yeah. And you do. I mean, I think that's a distance where you really do.
Oh, yeah.
You really do.
And I didn't do any like proper training for it. Like I didn't work my way up. So I certainly felt it.
Cool. And now, were you an athletic kid growing up? Or like, I kind of like to take things to the beginning, see where people come from that point.
I was, like, I did a lot of sports, didn't necessarily excel at all of them, but I definitely was active. I loved playing outside and being outside, and I played soccer competitively and, you know, like high school hockey and city hockey. So I was always very active and absolutely loved that part. And did like track and field and such, mm-hmm. but none of these things led to any career of any sorts in sports.
You just kind of did recreationally.
Yeah. It was all recreation and lots of fun. It was competitive to a certain degree, but like, I think what it did for me was, introduce me to wonderful people and teach you all those great things that sports teach kids, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that was the major use of it, and the fact that, like, you know, I still play outdoor hockey now and pick up soccer here and there, and it's just those things.
Just more like part of the lifestyle now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Cool. Do you see, like, I know you run like recreationally still pretty much for the most part. Do you find like what's the purpose for you? Like, what's the... Is there any, because I run, but I'm training for, I go run for fun too, mm-hmm. but I'm training for something. I always have that goal in mind. But what's that for you? Like,
That's a really good question. I think that, well, there's so many ways to answer this. And I think one of the first things I want to address is how beneficial the run club has been for me, just because it's on Mondays in the evening, which is a time of the week that I don't necessarily want to exercise, but because you feel pressured in some way because other people are there and you want to step to the plate and go running, it's very encouraging, and it starts you off your week remarkably well. So like, as opposed to having a Monday described as like, you know, a shitty coffee mug, like case of the Mondays, like instead of it being like a depressing Monday, it's like a go get a Monday where like it ends with a run and you're like, all right, this is a great pace to start the rest of my week with. So in a sense, running has become that for me, like this kind of routine where it sets me off on the right foot for the rest of the week and what other activities and exercise I do. You know, we've all heard of runner's high, which is kind of an elusive term because a lot of people have never experienced it.
And
for the most part, I hadn't experienced it either until like I kind of tried to tune in to it. And I find there's a lot of parallels to me made between meditation and running. And I like to call running sometimes forced meditation because it just kind of happens on its own. But if you take that extra step to tune into it, it can truly clear your mind and, you know, stop the hamster from racing and all of those wonderful things that help us reduce our anxieties and whatever else that keep us from having a clear mind.
For sure. And like you talk about meditation, which is a really good way of putting it, like mm-hmm. where you kind of zone out. I find, you know, you especially have, like, you know, when we're running in groups, we're usually having conversations and stuff like that, might not have the opportunity necessarily, but like yeah. definitely I feel that when you're running alone.
Yeah.
It's like you have that, you just keep going, put one foot in front of the other. You kind of just, you're in your own headspace and can be in your own mind with your own thoughts and stuff like that. But it's a really therapeutic kind of way to do exactly that.
Just, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I find like being in the run club doesn't keep you from doing that either. I always feel like a bit of a dick. I show up and like, I'm like, hey, everybody, hi. And then I take off and I'm on my own the entire time. But I'm so grateful for everybody for having been there, because that's what encourages me to be there in the first place. And uh-huh. I love the ritual of like, we wait for each other to start and we wait each for each other at the end. But in the middle, it's really your own run. And if you want to chit chat, you chit chat. If you want to be in your own world and listen to music or just be on your own running in the mm-hmm. forest, you can do that too.
Yeah.
And that's something I'm very grateful for with respect to the run club.
For sure. Are you, I know you do a lot of yoga as well.
I do.
So like what came first for you? Is it you learned to meditate through yoga and then able to translate that? Or
I actually, it's funny. I think I did yoga before meditation, and I started doing yoga just to kind of like stretch. And I really didn't buy in to a lot of what was being told to me at first in the classes, like maybe 5-6 years ago. And I'd go once a week and I was always a bit skeptical and sometimes like a little, I don't know, a little cynical about things. So I was rolling my eyes at a lot of the things the teacher would tell me. And I was like, oh goodness, like enough. It just felt a little esoteric to me. And then I don't think I've ever told this story, so I'm just going to go for it. I was up north. I worked in Nunavik.
This is an exclusive.
Yeah, this is pretty awesome. Like I never really, because you asked the question like meditation or yoga first, right? And I was wondering when exactly I started like familiarizing myself with what meditation was. And I had a job up north in Nunavik. I was up there for 5 months. Internet's terrible up there, and I did a lot of driving around. So like they gave me a pickup and I'd go to work sites, and my only companion in the car was like CBC radio, which can be caught up there. And there was an interview with somebody, some guy from Manhattan who like taught meditation practices and so on, and the way he explained it seemed so accessible and so hilarious. And I think he wrote some book like The Buddha Walks Into a Bar, and it just seemed like, all right, this is something I can relate to a little more easily. And so I read one of his books and I was like, all right, these are some pretty basic principles. It's really just like find a way to clear your mind and slow down the hamster. And I have a crazy hamster in my head running. So, yeah. So it's like, it's very useful skill. And then I kind of like made the link between a lot of the things the yoga teachers were saying.
Okay.
Stopped ignoring some of it, still mm-hmm. filtered out some of what I thought was esoteric, but like took some, left some, and started to get a little more out of the yoga practice.
Mm. That's pretty cool.
So I think that's the link.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you continue to do that today?
Absolutely. Every day. I haven't missed a single day for 14 months now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I went, I'm going to sound like a cliche of a guy pushing 40, but I like went to like Nepal with some buddies, like, and we were on a hike, and we were four guys, and every single day, me and one of the other guys got up and stretched and did some exercises before these very long hikes. It was a 21-day trek, right? And by the end of the trek, like soreness was really manageable, and I could attribute it to that, and that's all. And like just this whole concept of checking in with your body, before doing something that's can be excruciatingly painful and very like demanding, especially at high altitudes. And we were going over three peaks of 5,000 meters. So this was very strenuous on the body.
Yeah.
And I was like, the only thing that kind of really grounded me first thing in the morning was checking in a 20-25 minute yoga practice. It didn't really take much. And so we did that every single day. And then as I'm very privileged to have traveled in my 20s when I was younger. And like, you know, you always like have these inspiring trips, whether you're backpacking or whatever. And I would come back and I would just come back to my old self. And it was as if I hadn't learned anything. And on this one trip, I was like, I was committed. I said, when I get back, what am I going to take from this? I need to implement some sort of habit or something I learned, something I picked up there. And it was exactly that. It was doing yoga in the morning for 20-25 minutes, getting up a little earlier and just checking in. Mm. And that's been incredibly helpful for me. It's been wonderful.
Cool.
Yeah.
What do you find are the biggest benefits to doing that?
All right, I'm going to sound so yoga right now.
And why did you go on that trip?
Okay, yeah. Well, it was actually, it was two of the guys had organized the trip for like many months, and I wasn't sure if I could make it, but I was like so envious. I was like, oh, guys, this sounds amazing and whatever. And then I work for myself, and everything kind of lined up with projects. There was like a lull, and it was before Christmas. It was October, and I was like, I think I can make it. I think I can go away for 5-6 weeks. And I bought the ticket like at the very last minute. And the trip was mostly in Nepal, but then ended in India. And I have family in India. My father's from India.
Okay.
And so I was like, well, this is wonderful. I'll get to visit family as well. And that was the purpose. I also kind of like, I wasn't in a good place or anything. It was a breakup and such. And I was like, mm-hmm. This is a really great way to kind of get out of my everyday and see something completely different. And like, it's crazy. Like one of my buddies brought this up while we were there. It's just, you're in the mountains for 21 days. There's not a car. There's not a motor. There is nothing. Like, just our daily distraction from traffic alone is a buzz that is ever present. Mm-hmm. And when you're out there, like, that's one less thing to deal with. And one step closer to being inside your head as well, which can be a crazy feat in itself, right? So that was the motivation.
Cool.
And then you were asking something else.
What did you bring back? Like, how did that affect your? How does that affect your day to day now?
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing was definitely that habit, the yoga habit, and I think it was just like, and this is why I was laughing at myself before, how it sounds a little esoteric or cheesy, but that's just me. It was really the idea of checking in the morning, just very basically checking in the morning. Like, you know, I was talking about it with a friend today, like the beauty of yoga is that like there's some things that are just so simple, like you're standing on one leg. And when you're standing on one leg, you can very quickly tell whether you can keep your balance or not. And some days it's exceptionally easy and other days it's not. And to know that first thing in the morning is pretty cool, because if you're faltering, you're like, well, kind of off balance for today. Maybe it's not the right day to go take a big risk or whatever. And you just kind of let yourself know how you feel and then go about your day having checked in and knowing a little bit more about yourself first thing in the morning. Mm. And I think that's a fantastic way to go about things, because it's helped me just negotiate my day better and just be a little bit more accepting of myself. If during your practice, for instance, you can't concentrate, you can't clear your head, you can't meditate at all, well, you know that it's going to be one of those days where you're kind of out of focus, and maybe do a little less focus focused work and maybe, you know, run around and do errands or things that stimulate you a little more. And it's incredible what kind of a difference that makes. Mm-hmm. And of course, I have that luxury because I work for myself, and therefore you can, you know, you can kind of engineer your day as you wish.
Yeah, that's really, yeah, that's really interesting for sure. And I think so many times we just get up and go.
Mm-hmm.
We're just trained. Alarm goes off, shower, get dressed, out the door.
Absolutely.
You know, because we, you know, so many people do have those, you know, they start at 9, end at 5 kind of jobs and workloads. Yeah. But having that connection to the beginning of the day to make sure you're good is awesome, you know. And I find, like, I find with running too, like, for me, that's what it is. Sometimes I'll wake up in the morning and I'll go for a run. And
it's just, run every day?
Right now it's like 5-6 days.
Yeah, yeah, that's a lot.
But sometimes it's morning, sometimes it's night, you know.
Okay.
But I think maybe implementing some of what you're saying, you know, some stretching and some yoga moves. Is it toppling tree, the one-legged thing?
Yeah, exactly. Some toppling tree. More toppling than tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't done yoga in a while, but I do remember that one.
Yeah.
It's a fun one. And what's the one where you're lying down? Shavasana?
Yeah, that's my favorite.
That's my favorite, yeah.
Yeah, it's the best. That's your meditation.
Yeah, exactly. Mostly, yeah. Usually I'll fall asleep in that that pose. But what are you doing for work, for those that don't know?
I'm an architect. Mm-hmm. I specialize mainly in residential and increasingly in eco construction. And yeah, I've been working on myself for 3 years. The day we opened September, basically, or 4 months before the day we opened September, I took off to work on my own. And I've been on my own ever since.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what led you down that path?
Oh, wow. How do we make a long story short? Let's make this one.
So what were you doing before and then?
I trained. I did an undergrad in at the McGill School of Environment in International Environment and International Development, excuse me. And then I worked for a couple of years and traveled and did internships abroad and such. And realized that I loved when projects were palpable and that I could touch them and see them grow and see them physically manifest themselves. And it just, everything kind of lined up that way. It kind of made sense. For a long time, I was considering like film school. And then I was like, well, what is it exactly that I find so interesting about cinema? And it was like, well, it was like moods and depth and what you see in a picture, like when you're crafting a picture, it's all these same principles of composition and lighting. And what I find fascinating about architecture is that, like, you're creating spaces quite like on a movie screen, but that let everybody's human drama unfold in real time, right? It's maybe not being recorded, but it's being lived. And like the way a space affects people's day and contributes to their story is particularly fascinating, and especially at the residential level, because it becomes very intimate. How do you wake up in the morning? What's the view? How do you want to feel? What space do you wake up into? All those things are very interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Because it requires a great deal of sensitivity to space and really understanding your client and the people. So there's like a psychological component that I find particularly appealing.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then the leap to go on your own. What was that like?
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really scary. I think a lot of people can relate to this if they work for themselves, is that like for 6 months to a year, you're like, well, what have I done? Like, this is, who knows? Like, don't know. Sometimes like you're in a mega rush and sometimes there's like no money coming in and you're like, well, how is this going to equal out in the end? And, once you kind of learn and train yourself to see things big picture, then everything makes a lot more sense. The anxiety subsides and it becomes very manageable and extremely exciting. And it really boils down to that, I think, is big picture. And you can't lose sight of that when you work for yourself or you're an entrepreneur.
Crazy.
And the same thing applies to the coffee shop, of course, is that you always have to think big picture.
And how long has that been now?
3 years.
3 years.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find that, yeah, big picture. I've been looking at that big picture or talking about it a little bit more recently.
Mm-hmm.
And like just being patient with yourself, I think also goes with it. So when you're looking at something long term, like if I look at running or if I look at work or if I look at whatever it is, like running's such a big part of my life now, but I'm willing to be patient with myself. I'm willing to give myself that 3-year goal or 5-year goal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know that what I need to do to get where I need to go. But it's so funny, like we forget, like for the things that are going well, like we forget those same principles can be applied to other things.
Absolutely.
I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And I think the theme that I've come up with now is patience. So I think big picture too is a nice way to put it.
But that's exactly it. It's being patient with yourself and being patient for whatever your goal or objective is. And the same thing applies to absolutely everything.
Yeah. And it's like, because everyone wants stuff right now, you know?
Yeah.
Like today.
Increasingly.
So.
And we lose sight of big picture and perspective on how long it takes to get things done. You know, yeah, whether it's being able to achieve a marathon or a half marathon or whatever it is.
And so just like yoga, like has running helped you with, is it like a whole, is it a combination of things now that mm-hmm. has helped you kind of get, I know you mentioned anxiety a few times, like.
Yeah, it's not, I don't think it's a. I say that like in a general sense, in the same way that we all, I don't have a, like a war on anxiety or anything like that. Nor do I think it's a bad word. I think it's something that is actually very useful.
Mm-hmm.
I embrace it. I think it's something that can drive you and is always kind of teaching you something, and to get over it or to work at it is a very challenging process, and then can give you so much back. And to answer your question, yeah, running is very much that. If ever I'm feeling like the hamster wheels are racing, you go for a run and you're pretty much done. That's it.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, I don't know anything about it. I'm no expert, but I think those should be doctor's orders. Like, seriously, like, just putting it out there.
Yeah.
Like, go for a run.
Yeah.
Or if it's not running, whatever, but just, like, get out of your head and just run, like, scramble for something physical. Like, get that heart going, and it's the best.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, like, I think those things are proportional. If, like, the worse you're doing, well, the harder you run, or the more you give, and the more it's going to calm you down. And it's an amazing thing. We were made to run. It's so exciting. I've been thinking about this for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever, did you watch that, you know, The Nature of Things by David Tsugi?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever watch the running one?
I didn't, no.
It's amazing, dude. I'm probably going to misquote the shit out of it. I don't care. Okay. But like the one thing
we'll
I remember is that,
the,
yeah, yeah. It was so cool. It was all about how like we evolved kind of running away from predators because our endurance is so much better than the predators in our ecosystems mm-hmm. at that time. And we'd basically tire them out in ways that they slow down and then we could hunt them. But that was our advantage, to be like running in groups away from things for, I don't know, 2-3 days or whatever it was. But like, it wasn't, we'll never be faster than any of these predators, but we were able to like kind of
wear them down,
yeah. Like by running strategically in the right places and so on. And apparently like our ass muscles and all sorts of things are just gluteus, right?
Yeah.
Those all existent because of running.
Yeah.
And like, it's amazing. That's what we're shaped for. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think I saw something similar like that. So
it was so cool, dude. This is incredible.
Maybe the younger ones were faster, so they led the charge.
Yeah.
The whole idea, I think, was to overheat. So the animal would overheat and eventually have to slow down and stop. And then
older people.
Yeah. And I think as we get older, we were able to run longer distances faster.
Yeah.
And then they would be the ones to just keep on the animal as mm-hmm. they slow down, as they tired, as they overheat. and then they were able to.
Yeah, it was fascinating. I'm sure we're making all sorts of stuff up right now, but yeah. There's something to do with our evolution there. And I think like there's also that connection, right? Of like, you know, you go for a run and you're like, wow, like I don't need anything here. We create all sorts of needs and say, oh, we need new running shoes and whatever, but you really don't. You don't need anything. It's absolutely fascinating. Yeah.
That's great. That's what I love about running the most, yeah. I think. So you could just put your running shoes on and get
take
up,
off get wherever up. You are, whatever trip you're on, whatever.
Yeah. It's so funny. Like so many people think they need like the newest gear.
Whatever.
It's all, it's crazy. You also mentioned on our last run that you started like cross training and lifting more.
I did. As I told, I warned you, I'm a cliche dude. I'm like all this weird shit shows up on my feeds on Instagram and stuff. It's like on news, like somehow the social media knows that I'm going to turn 40.
Oh,
and
nice.
So they're like, yeah, this is your last chance. It's all downhill from here. You better gain mass. You better like work on your flexibility because you're rotting away now. And so that's not why I did it, but it's just been, I was just like, whoa, dude. I have been reading up on it and like, it is pretty interesting. Like I mean, 40 is an average, whatever, but it does become a lot harder to build muscle mass over time. Right. And like you have peak periods in your youth and then like over 40, it just becomes more difficult. Now, what you can do is kind of like build it in the next 5 years and then just you work maintaining whatever you have. But the real motivation for me wasn't like bulk or mass or anything like that, but strength in the truest sense of the word. And like, I've never had a terribly strong upper body, but I was like, if there's certain activities that I absolutely love to do in the long run, I want to keep doing those. And, the stronger I am now, the better it will be in the long run. And I've already seen a difference. It's unbelievable. I like found a buddy of mine who's not necessarily like a certified trainer, but is like a super nerd on lifting and training. And he's exceptional. Like he's read all these lifting Bibles and watched every YouTube video and he's doing seminars and he's actually doing his certification right now for being a trainer. And he was kind enough to give me some like tips at a couple of gym sessions. And like, if you then go running and you do like sprints and whatever, like you'll notice a difference right away. It's incredible.
Cool.
And I don't know, do you ever do those like intermittent sprints? You know, like I know Leslie was doing them at one point.
Like interval training?
Yeah. Interval like training.
100 meter, 200 meter.
Exactly. And like, you do like 8 20 second sprints and then you have like a minute of rest in between, something like that. Yeah. So whenever I've done that, what hurts the next day, bizarrely, is my upper body.
Okay.
Which is strange because I'm just like suddenly like it's so intense, I guess, that like you're moving muscles up on top and ever since I've been doing lifting, that's made a huge difference.
Okay. Because you're driving with your arms,
I guess. I don't know, understand the biomechanics of it, but that makes sense.
Well, try running without moving your arms.
Super weird looking. Super weird.
Yeah, really weird. But so that kind of makes sense. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But also, I mean, if we talk about like stresses and stuff like that, a lot of the time when we're running, I do a check. I check myself. So I check to make sure my shoulders are down, that my shoulders are back as well.
Oh, cool.
Because
I've witnessed and observed your running posture, by the way. It's quite remarkable. And I'm not just saying this. This is for real. I saw that yesterday. And when I was creeping up on you guys in the dark because I was late for running yesterday, I could see, I was like, oh yeah, that's Justin from a mile away. I could tell just from the way you were running.
It's funny when you run with somebody enough, you can see them coming.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I have the same situation with my training partner, same thing, Ariane.
Sweet.
Like, I know her, how she bounces and stuff like that. So it's
I was just gonna pour you some.
Oh, okay. No, that's great. Thanks. But certainly, like I always make sure to check because as we run, we forget about these things. We have to relax and I think early on when I was running in like in high school, it was like a track coach. I was getting into running. I was running on the school team. I think we went to one meet. It was like ridiculous, but I got some coaching from a coach at I think John Rennie High School in the West Island. And one of the main things I remember was he's like, relax, just relax.
So cool.
Like you relax your face, relax your shoulders, relax your arms, you know, relax your hands, you know, like the legs are doing the work. The arms are the momentum for the for your stride. So like if you're running faster, you're going to move your arms faster. If you're running slower, you're going to move your arms slower too. But often like if you're tired at the end of a race or at the end of a training or whatever, if you move your arms, you'll get the drive in the legs because they work together.
Right.
Right arm, left leg, left arm, right leg, mm-hmm. you know? So that's what I try and do. In like even on regular easy runs, I try and like relax and check my posture and stuff because in the long term, it does make a difference and it can impact your joints and your fatigue level and all that stuff. So,
right.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. But maybe I need to do some more weightlifting.
Very cool. Well, I mean, I don't do to improve my running by any means. It's more like I love skiing. Like I love downhill skiing more than anything.
Okay.
And that, like, I think strength training, like the main motivation is keep on doing those things I love well into old age. And that means keeping your recovery period in check, right? Because you don't want to like be completely spent after 2 days of skiing. You'd love to get 3 or 4 or 5 days in a row.
Yeah.
That would be great. And mountain biking too. Like these are like sports that require your like physical attention for short spurts and like you're very tense, very stiff. And then like, yeah, you can easily drain yourself after 2 days.
So yeah, so the weight training is like essentially so you can be fitter for activity.
For that, yeah. But I would never do it, nor will I ever get there because I don't eat enough. But like I would never do it to the point that it compromises any of the activities I'm doing. Like if I, you know, if suddenly I feel all like heavy and weird when I'm running, well, I'll lift less. It's not like I'm lifting much anyways.
Yeah. Are you doing leg work too? Or?
Oh, it's mostly legs.
Okay.
It's mostly legs. Yeah.
Cool. So we'll have to see.
Like, yeah. You gotta talk to my buddy, man.
Yeah.
It's all about the legs.
I don't do enough weight training, but I just run so much.
Yeah.
It's good in the off season. It's like hockey players in the off season, they lift.
Yeah.
And then because they can't really do much in the while the season's going on. Like,
yeah.
It's very similar in like running.
Yeah.
But it'll help with like injury prevention and all that.
It's incredible. It just tightens you up. It's amazing.
Cool. So we'll have to see, get you racing and then we'll really put you to the test.
Dude, I would love to. I should do I should at least start with a 10K or something. I can't believe I've never done one.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it when you told me that you hadn't.
I really should.
Yeah. It's crazy. So maybe next summer.
Yeah, just egg me on, dude. It works.
When's your next trip?
Trip?
Yeah,
like,
trip.
Definitely. I'm going to the Chic-Chocs.
What's that?
It's in Gaspésie. Going backcountry skiing there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It's like a big Montreal crew that goes every New Year's, and it's a shit show when you get there. It's so much fun.
Okay.
It's the funnest New Year's party. It's a tiny little like abandoned mining town called Murdochville. I shouldn't say abandoned. It's like...
I've heard of Murdochville.
Yeah, so it used to be a mining town, and then like the mines closed, and it was just kind of dead for a while. And then they... now it's become a ski town. There's like a little mountain in the middle and there's incredible parks around to do backcountry skiing. So that's the trip, the upcoming one. And then probably go out west in Whistler. I have a friend there, so I'll go skiing in end of February.
Cool.
Yeah, I usually do an annual trip out west to ski.
Okay, nice. And like, so do you ski a lot here too, or is it like mostly
a ton
trips?
I do like, I do cross-country skiing on Mount Royal and East Coast skiing wherever.
Awesome.
But Yeah, it was weird to run in the winter with WRG. Like, that was the first time I was always cross-country skiing. I'd never even considered running in the winter.
Oh, wow.
So this last year was the first time I went running in the winter quite regularly.
Cool.
So I'm looking forward to that this year as well. So and it kind of switches things up from cross-country skiing. It's great.
And that's one thing I really want to try. Oh, cross country skiing.
Okay, I'm saying it on air. We're gonna go.
Yeah,
but I'll take the group. Well, when there's too much snow,
yeah,
we'll organize things in advance. Get some skis, even at Beaver Lake. We could start there.
Yeah,
and for those who have never been, I'll show you the basics. I've been cross country skiing since I was 3 years old.
Amazing.
Yeah, I have a Swiss mom, so I was like born on skis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So your dad's Indian, your mom's Swiss.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And so you're familiar with like winter clothing and stuff too. So how did that...
Very.
How did that... So how do you dress running in the winter? Like yourself personally? And
one of the members had a great rule for it. You dress 5 degrees less than it is outside.
Okay.
So that's kind of what I do.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. It's like even like a ratty old wool sweater with like an underlayer and you're good.
Nice.
And you're like freezing on the way to the mountain and then you heat up so fast. It's insane.
Crazy. And what about shoes? Do you have different shoes for...
Nope.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Yeah. And it's slippery and kind of annoying, but that's not what you remember at the end of the run.
What do you remember?
I don't know. Like how you feel when you get home. Like it's so fleeting, right? Like yeah. All the shittiness of running in the winter, like it's just over soon and you forget about it and then you just feel amazing.
Yeah, it's such a struggle I find in the winter.
Yeah, it really
is. Dark in the morning, dark at night.
And we have our headlamps bobbing around on our foreheads.
One person had a headlamp
in our group. Oh yeah, sick.
Yeah. But I always find it like a challenge to choose what I'm going to wear because I always assume the worst.
Yeah.
Like it's like I almost have to go out to see first and then... And then go back in to make a call on the clothing because, like, I just want to be warm.
Yeah. But the general rule is underdress.
No. Yeah.
For sure, because you'll be a hell of a lot more comfortable in the long run.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And so do you prefer winter running or do you prefer summer running?
Fall running.
Best. So neither.
It's the best. No, I actually love the heat. So, like, summer is fine, but fall running is definitely the best. But no, I prefer summer over winter for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even like living on the slopes kind of thing or being like familiar with the slopes and all that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Cool, yeah. I have a hard time with the heat.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's like it's too much. It's got to be beginning of like early in the day or late in the afternoon.
And you have Italian ancestry.
Yeah. I know it's weird. I tan well, but...
Yeah, that's about it.
The heat I struggle with. But you actually have to train in, like, that...
Right.
Garbage weather.
Yeah. Well,
it's beautiful, like, for sipping on a beer on the patio, but...
Yeah.
When you're doing, like, workouts on the canal and it's, under the blistering heat, but you have to do it to get used to it, acclimatized to it, because when you race in it, it's equally as tough. But I'm with you, like, fall races are usually... The best. A little cooler, but you can still wear a t-shirt or tank top.
Muscles warm up nice and fast, nevertheless. It's really good.
What's the diet like?
That too has changed a lot. Oh my goodness. The more cliche talk. It's so ridiculous. Every internet trend I've signed up on. Every single trend I've signed up on. It's pathetic. That's like ridiculous. I heard all about like intermittent fasting and I was like, oh, let me try this out. I heard all about lemon water in the morning. Like, let me try this out. Like, just fats in the morning. Let me try this out. So I've tried it all out. I actually stuck for 6 months now with the intermittent fasting. It's nothing crazy, but I basically skip breakfast. That's what it boils down to. And then like...
What is it? 12 hours?
No, it's longer than 12, like 16 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, so like from 8 p.m. to noon or 1, a little longer, that's it. And you have just black coffee or lemon water in the morning, and I have so much more time. So much more time. Time to do yoga, time to go to run errands, have a really productive work morning. And then you come home and you're so excited for like a lunch and you have something light. And I eliminated, obviously this depends on who you are and your composition, and like all sorts of a million factors. Other variables and factors. But for me personally, like I used to just always hit like an early afternoon wall and that's gone, which really? Is great. Yeah. So avoid carbs in the middle of the day. Just have like salads or fruit or more salads and fats and such. And then in the evening, eat whatever the hell I want.
Yeah.
Anything at all. Super fun.
As long as it's not after 8.
Yeah. And and I cheat all the time. So sometimes it's 9, 10, whatever. And then you just make it a little longer the next day.
Cool.
Or not. I'm not like crazy about it, but it's definitely made a huge difference. Like it's made a huge difference in terms of fat in the midsection.
Okay. So
weight loss.
Okay.
Weight distribution.
There's a difference, right?
Big difference. Yeah. So weight distribution for sure. And yeah, more importantly, eliminating that fatigue wall.
So you have more energy.
It's amazing. That's in the cool. afternoon, early afternoon when I usually didn't.
So you do that, you do it every day?
I've been trying it for 6 months. Let's see what the next trend is.
So yoga
Let's see what
every
comes
day.
Up. I'm just going to sign up for the next trend.
Yoga
like
every
a
day.
Tool. Just like, oh, yeah, that's me. Let me sign up. That's for me.
Yeah.
That's... Check them out. Check a couple of YouTube tutorials.
How to intermittent fast.
How to intermittent fast. That's so ridiculous. Yeah. But yeah. So
you know
I've been at that for... I listened to all these, like, you know, like these bro scientists on podcasts, like all these like nutrition guests and so on popular podcasts. And like, I don't know, like I have a couple of doctor friends who told me that like the science is wishy-washy, but a lot of it makes sense. And the main one is that in general, we overeat. And like the hard science says, and this is what my doctor buddy was saying, the hard science is that people who eat less live longer, and that's it. We just have a serious tendency in Western society to overeat because it's so available. Mm-hmm. And
instead of eating when we're hungry.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, then there's the whole ketosis thing that I can barely explain, so I won't get into that. But, you know, the main principle being that, you know, if you do without food for a while, well, then you process it more efficiently in the long run. And that's all I know about it. And it's been very, very helpful. Also, the mental exercise of not eating and realizing how much hunger is in your head. It's incredible. And that you don't need to be snacking and eating all the time. It's like it ends up being a pure distraction from other things. And once you learn to live a little with hunger and turn it into another feeling, then you don't lose focus on what you're doing. And that's what I meant before by like having super productive mornings, is that like you're just not distracted by even thinking about food because it's become part of your habit to avoid it, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I found that very, very helpful. People will have all sorts of explanations as to like the science behind it all. But coming from an Indian background, the concept of fasting is not new to me. I have many family members who have done it and so on. And I would say the main reason has been to like kind of just better understand what it means to be hungry.
Value it more, essentially. Yeah.
And just like, you know, you do without something and you make a sacrifice and you realize that, well, I'm grateful for the food that I do have because a lot of people don't have food. And that in itself is an excellent exercise.
Hmm. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I might have to try that a little bit.
Yeah, man, follow the trends.
Go from 12 to 16 hours now.
Yeah.
And you have so much time in the morning. Is it because you're not preparing food? Is that mainly the...
You're not thinking about it.
Yeah.
Mostly. It doesn't take that long to prepare it, but like just to think about it and then to like, you know, do your dishes and then everything related to that and just like being like, oh, what am I going to eat this mm-hmm. morning? Forget it. You go straight to your yoga mat, you do your thing, and then you're off to the races. That's it.
Cool. Have you always lived in Montreal? I know you've been living in the same place for quite some time now.
Living in the same place forever.
Ideal location.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. It's a 5-minute walk from the mountain. I cannot move. I spent like a year thinking about moving and looking at places and looking at different neighborhoods. And I actually had an Airbnb guest. I rent out one of my rooms. And she followed me around for a week. We were having a blast. And she was like, came to the September. She went running with me. And she was like, I don't know why you're looking to choose between two neighborhoods or move. She's like, you've got two lives. Just, that's awesome. She's like, go to Sud-West and like hang out in Little Burgundy. And that's one life. And then you're like, kind of regimented routine life where you go on your runs and you work is up on the plateau right by the mountain. Yeah. And like, you know, that mountain is magical. Like you're in a forest in the middle of the city. Who gets to say that? Like in the middle of the night, I've gone cross country skiing at like 10 PM and I see foxes and bunny rabbits. And like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And when it snows and the moonlight is shining, like you don't even need a headlamp. Like everything is so bright and it might be midnight. It's an absolutely magical place. So I was so drawn to that mountain. I was like, I can't move. I have to stay here. So yes, I've lived elsewhere to answer your question. Yeah. but usually like never more than 4 or 5 months at a time.
Okay.
Like, a little bit in Europe, a year in South America, half a year in Central America, a little bit, you know, for exchanges and university stuff and
cool,
that kind of thing.
So safe to say the mountain's your favorite place to run?
Oh, absolutely.
I was going to say, where's your favorite
absolutely
place to run in Montreal?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I bet you that it's done me harm in terms of my versatility, because anytime I run anywhere else, my muscles get all weird and sore. If I'm running on flats, I'm super weird. But like the mountain, it's just like, oh, uphill. Even when I go, if it's like so disgusting outside that I have to like run on a treadmill, I always put the incline up and I'm just like emulating the mountain at all times.
Yeah.
So it does screw around a little with my versatility, or what's the word I'm looking for? Not versatility, but
mobility, maybe flexibility.
Just, yeah. Or like, you know,
all the abilities.
Being versatile in different situations to run is what I mean. Like running on concrete kills me. Whereas like that Homestead Trail is epic.
Okay. Is it 'cause you always run on the gravel?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. So I guess I'm just used to it. If I started like running on the canal, I would probably get better at it, but it kind of gives me shin splints, whatever those are. Does anyone know what those are?
Shin splints?
Yeah.
I've never had them.
Oh, okay.
For me, it's just a pain in your shin. But
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
I still don't know what it is, but it just hurts in my shin.
Yeah. People, I think when people start running, it's
a classic.
Yeah, and I find it funny. It's like, you know, when you go to the gym for the first time in a while, or for the first time ever, and you start lifting weight, and then the next day you're hurt, and then 2 days later you're even more in pain.
Yeah.
I find it's the same thing with running to a certain extent. Like people, and when it comes, if we bring it back to patients,
yeah,
when people go out for a run, maybe they're not used to it, and then they have pain, and then it's like, I hate running. I don't like to run. My knees hurt, or my shins hurt, or this hurts, that hurts. But yet they are more patient at the gym than they are running. You know what I mean?
It's so weird, eh? That aversion to like cardio or endurance related. Like I hear people say stuff like that all the time. Yeah. Like, no, I prefer the gym, or I prefer running. And I'm like, well, what? I don't quite understand like the aversion to cardio or like sweating or... I don't get it. But of course, I'm like you, we have these body types of, you know, lightweight guys who can run forever. So it's kind of like we capitalize on that. But, you know, I don't understand the aversion to it, because in the long run, it does feel so good.
Oh, yeah.
I guess it's the same aversion that I had towards lifting. I just was intimidated by it at first.
Right.
Yeah.
And which I think people are intimidated by running as well.
Yeah.
Or even running in groups for that matter, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think I ever did it so much in my life. And now
Dude, how many groups are you part of? I found out yesterday. They were like, oh, yeah, that's where I met Justin. I was like, oh, here? He's like, no, another group. I was like, what do you?
Yeah, for me, it was like 3 years ago, I got invited to an event, just a run event from a girl I went to high school with. And I showed up. It was like a 5K. Like, I was a soccer player like you, and I had so much fun. And I ended up meeting my coaches at that event, which is, that was where a switch went off, you know? They were endurance athletes, triathletes, and I was getting into triathlon before I had met them, and I was just asking them questions, and I was curious about it, about running and triathlon in general, and then one thing led to another, and they had me, like, training for Ironman and stuff like that.
What?
And yeah, yeah. And then that's because it was a progression. It was like a two-year thing. I went from Olympic, and then I did two half Ironman distance races. And then decided I wanted to do a full one. And there's a marathon in a full Ironman, so I was like, well, I want to do a marathon before I do that, because I don't want my first marathon to be in the triathlon.
No, that's a little bit overkill.
A little bit, yeah.
Probably doable, but...
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I'll never know. No. But I was happy I did
that. Good for you.
I was happy I did the marathon, but there's a lot of, you know, we talk about, again...
You exercise patience, yeah.
And I listened to people who had done it before, and what it took to get there, you know. But that's what I love about these groups. Now I run with multiple run groups in Montreal, and I think the big thing for me is, like, I'm not going there to train. Like, I do that on my own time,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, I have a program for a marathon coming up and stuff like that. But I go there because I like community running. I like meeting people.
It's awesome.
And if I didn't do that myself, I may have never met the people that have impacted my running and my triathlon, and my life in general, you know?
Because
that's all for people that know me, that's pretty much all I do now. It's like
amazing.
That in this podcast.
So cool.
But yeah, it's just like, it's that one thing leads to another, and I love running with all different groups and different people and meeting different people. And I'm sure you find similarities. I mean, there's a similarity there with traveling too, and
for sure,
like, we would never have met if we didn't run together with WRG.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just find that, like, fascinating, you know, that whole thing. But
yeah, especially because intuitively running is not a social thing,
mm-hmm.
so it ends up being a social thing when you join the group, which is
yeah.
great.
I think it's like a step process almost. Yeah. You start, you know, if you
and
can...
go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
That was my aversion to it at first. I think I touched upon that, but, like, I didn't want to join a group. I was like, running's about being alone in my head and all of this. And I was like, this sounds like... I was just like, group travel. It, like, it didn't appeal to me at all. And I've partaken in both of those things, group travel and group running, and it's amazing. And it really does boil down to, like, being open to meeting new people and whatever you're going to learn and experience from that.
Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of people, like, it's a good opportunity too to, well, there's a few things, to maybe get out of your comfort zone.
100%.
And, like, some people are, you know, more introverts, and it's a nice opportunity to go and run and connect with, even if it's one other person.
Yeah.
Also to, like, you know, to push yourself. You know, sometimes you're just like, well, you just go for an easy run, maybe, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour. But joining a group, you find, like, so many people that show up. They're like, you ask them, like, what's the most you've ever ran? And they're like, 5K. And, you know, a lot of these groups, they run for an hour and they run easy and they wait for each other, and... but you end up running like 7K or something. So you get to see a lot of, like, novice runners, let's say.
Breaking their records.
Breaking their records.
Pretty awesome.
But just because they're running with other people,
yeah.
you know? So
somewhat effortlessly, probably.
Yeah. And I find that, like, really, like, I get a kick out of it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome.
It's fulfilling. So, like, I think it's a combination of everything that really makes, And we have such a good run community in Montreal too. So,
dude, and such a great city to run in.
Yeah,
we're so lucky.
Are you going to be joining us on the? Are you going to be around for the January 1st New Year's?
No, run? I'm going to be in Gaspésie.
Oh.
Super hungover skiing. Yeah. Hungover skiing
is that the best?
It's also a great activity.
I run hungover, unfortunately. Yeah. but once I get into the cross country, maybe that's what I'll
Yeah, dude, I really look forward to doing that. Yeah. Now that I put it out there, we got to do it.
Yeah, we should get the group together.
We'll get
sure.
a group together and we'll designate maybe plan it a little bit more in advance so that people can scramble around for equipment if they don't have any or it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. I'm down. That's one of my New Year's resolutions, I think.
Sweet.
What's one of yours? You got anything coming up in 2019?
One of mine. You know what? Usually on the car ride up to the Chic-Chocs in Gaspé, that's when we do our resolutions. And it's like a six-part process.
Okay.
It's been a tradition. So like we have different categories and so on. But I don't know. One of them is health. It would be appropriate to talk about the health and fitness one, I guess. I haven't given it a lot of thought, but because I only started this strength training about 6 weeks ago, I think the idea would be not to give it up.
Okay.
Just continue doing that for 2019 and see where it takes me. I'll figure out something more articulate with regard to that, but that's definitely the big change. So I want to, this is, let's say, a test, and now I want to get into it and see where it goes.
Cool. And what kind of stuff are you doing for strength?
Everything is barbell. This coach is awesome, dude. I like all the like overly deep philosophical angles about everything in life.
Yeah.
So,
and
you know, he was talking about how, like, you know, in gyms, you have all these like machines that serve one purpose, and you can trace it back. I don't know how much of this is true, by the way, so disclaimer, but you can trace it back to like one dude who invented all of these things, like the Nautilus guy or something. And it was all like, it all coincided with this like period in American history where, you know, there was a lot of advertising and people were exceptionally self-conscious about their looks. And like, you know, we're definitely no longer an agrarian society. People were customizing their bodies with these machines. And to a great degree, that's very much what it is today for a lot of people. It's like a huge vanity component to it. And this trainer guy told me, he's like, what is, you know, strength? Like that's what it should be about. And he was like, strength training, like feats of physical strength have been around forever. He's like, Olympic lifting has been around forever. It requires like a barbell and like weights. That's it. And I thought that was fascinating because I'd never really disassociated the two. So all we do is barbell. Mm-hmm. So we do like back squats, deadlifts, and shoulder press. And I'm going to learn the most basic one, which I should have started with, the bench press soon. Awesome. But yeah, like deadlifts are fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible. Like engages the entire body. If you do a lot, like a big weight, like this is all new to me, which is why I'm so excited about it. So I'm total newbie, right? But like the second you lift something that's challenging for you, like you like yell, like you don't have a choice, you have to like let it out. It's such an exhilarating feeling, and then you have to like catch your breath, and it's just, it lasts split second. It's nuts.
Well, breathing's all part of it, right?
Yeah And so it's really, these are all new feelings. It's super exciting.
So it's important in running too, right?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
It's just funny. My trainer guy's like, yeah, you're going to want to take a couple of months off running, man. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, you know, you need your recovery period. You're going to want to be eating. And I'm like, well, dude, I'm sure I could do both. But in the end, he was kind of right. It was really hard to do both. Mm-hmm. I just got back into running maybe 2 weeks ago. But yeah, at first it is very draining.
Because the muscles are really fatigued, I guess.
Yeah, really fatigued. And like, it's crazy how much you want to eat.
Yeah. You got to fuel fuel it too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's, you got to listen to your body. I think that's the
100%
big lesson. So that's whether it's weightlifting or running or even yoga, I'm sure.
Yeah, man. He said, what did he say? It was funny. He goes, yeah, whatever, man. Lifters lift, runners run, dude. And I was like, well, man, I'm not going to stop running just because I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I started running in the past 2 weeks because it's starting to feel good and keeping me limber.
Yeah, I think it's a nice compliment too.
Oh, dude, it's lifting is not going to be like, it's not going to be a main gig. Like what I see it as is like I'm learning a skill that I can add to the you know roster of activities and.
But you'll see
cliches.
and you'll see. I'm sure if you, I think if you run like a half marathon again,
yeah,
or that distance, that's interesting because the recovery period there is significant.
100%.
And I think I noticed that most when I did some boot camps.
Oh yeah,
I was telling you. And I started going to do these boot camp classes like a few times a week, and then like during the winter, and then when I came back to running. And had those races, like the difference afterwards, the recovery period was much shorter, and I felt so much better after, which was like the best feeling in the world because I had worked my muscles now. So
yeah, that's huge,
and I think it's so underrated. We don't do it enough, and it's just like it's just good in general, just to be like stronger, you know?
Yeah, dude, and it's an interesting value to think about, like and it applies. I think I mentioned this to you a week ago or so, but like, you know, I was just like, I was playing with my niece. She's 5 years old. And I was like, after 4 weeks of strength training, I was just like chucking her in the air. I was like, rah! And it's such a good feeling, like, and just stupid stuff. Like just coming home with groceries and not having to like lean in to carry the weight or taking out the garbage and not hurting your lower back. Like it's strength is a tremendous. It's such a good thing for you.
Such a good tool.
Yeah. Such a good tool.
For sure. I want to ask you one last question.
Go for it.
What does running mean to you?
Oh, that's a big one for the end. Intuitively, like first thing that comes to mind is it brings me peace. That's it. Like I've associated it with the forest. I've associated it with Mount Royal, like a very specific routine. I've associated it with like slowing down the hamster and like just guaranteed to bring me peace in some respect, some form or another.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's nice. On a whim, that's nice.
Oh, it's the first thing that came to mind, but like, yeah. I'm sure there's other ways to say it. But.
For sure. And also like where can people find out more about you? Like, I know they can bump into you at September Cafe.
Yeah,
which
absolutely.
Is,
I'm often there on weekends. So that's great. You can.
That's near Atwater Market.
Absolutely. You can learn more about the cafe on Instagram, September Surf, or septembersurf.com. There's the website if you ever want to rent the space for events or whatever. Come by for a drink evenings or weekends, or just come by for a coffee, or come by for Snack Box. The food is exceptionally good as well.
Awesome.
If I may say so myself.
Yeah, I tested it out.
Yeah, I really love it.
You have that September Sessions, which is quite awesome.
Yeah,
live music.
Super fun.
You got some beer.
That's why I love September. It's like we asked ourselves, why are we doing this? And like we wanted a place to hang out. Mm. And that's what it became. And we've met such incredible people because of it. I wouldn't be here because I met Leslie there.
That's true.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and you guys are doing some really awesome stuff with it too.
Yeah,
these little events
you.
And stuff.
It's
yeah.
been really a wonderful community building experience. And for architecture on Instagram, RHA Works.
Cool.
And that's it. You can always DM me if you're looking to build a eco tiny house.
Yeah.
Out in the boonies.
That might be a goal for me.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'd love to.
I'm in.
Cool.
I'm in. I've been really tripping out on all the all the new ways of seeing construction lately. It's very exciting
it efficient.
And there's so many people interested in it, so it's exciting. It's an exciting market, and it's an exciting technologically. It's exciting philosophically. It's on so many levels.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to thank you again for coming by. We'll have to do a run out of September maybe sometime soon.
We must.
And we'll be happy to have you back again soon too.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. That was lots of fun.
You're welcome. Take care.
Take care.
This episode is brought to you by WRG Run Club. If you're looking for a friendly, fun, and positive run club to join, this group is for you. They meet every Monday at 7 p.m. on the base of Mount Royal. Some run fast, some run slow. Who you'll meet, you never know. Keep track and visit their website, iamarunner.ca, and be sure to follow them on Instagram for more details at WRGRuns. Hope to see you out there. Thank you for joining us on this episode of La Rundown. We hope you enjoyed our show. Please make sure to visit us at iamarunner.ca. You can also let us know what you think and follow us on Instagram at La Rundown. Now take what you've learned and run with it. La Rundown is a production by WRG Media, recorded in the historic RCA building in downtown Montreal. Produced and recorded by Forrest McKay. Our executive producers, Leslie and Lindsay Woods. Graphics and illustrations created by Ryan Bondi and assisted by Mark Grimberg. Marketing by Jill Garcia and hosted by me, Justin Pugliese.